From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled, Hallowed Be Thy Name, Our First Concern in Prayer, part of this series of studies on the Lord's Prayer. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook, by C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled, Reward is Certain. The text is Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Well, I can do as much as that. I can do a kind act toward the Lord's servant. The Lord knows I love them all, and would count it an honor to wash their feet. For the sake of their master, I love the disciples. How gracious of the Lord to mention so insignificant an action, to give to drink a cup of cold water only. This I can do, however poor. This I may do, however lowly. This I will do right cheerfully. This, which seems so little, the Lord notices. Notices when done to the least of his followers. Evidently it is not the cost, nor the skill, nor the quantity that he looks at, but the motive. That which we do to a disciple because he is a disciple, his Lord observes and recompenses. He does not reward us for the merit of what we do, but according to the riches of his grace. I give a cup of cold water, and he makes me to drink of living water. I give to one of his little ones, and he treats me as one of them. Jesus finds an apology for his liberality in that which his grace has led me to do, and he says, he shall in no wise lose his reward.
As I seek your guidance for the day, I find my thoughts unyielding, confusion crowds my way. But then when I bow to you, the challenges you guide me through, your promises are ever new, I claim them for today. Protect me, I rest in your care. Your eyes will watch over me, your love will forgive me, and when I am faltering, I still will find you there. Day's design is charted by your hand and graciously revealed as I seek your master plan. Keep
keep my footsteps faithful. When from you I go, return me to the joy that your blessings can bestow. Your will cannot lead me where your grace will not keep me. Your hand will protect me. I rest in your care. Your eyes will and when I am faltering, I still will find you there. Your eyes will watch over me. Your love will forgive me. And when I am faltering, I still will find you there.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. As Dr. Cairns continues this series in the Lord's Prayer, the focus for a number of programs has been on the opening words, Our Father, and we've learned much about the proper approach to God in prayer. Now Dr. Cairns turns to the first petition in the prayer, Hallowed be thy name. This is the first and foremost element of prayer, the desire for God to glorify his own holy name. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce a message entitled, Hallowed be thy name, our first concern in prayer.
Now let's turn to Exodus chapter 34, and we're going to read just a few verses together. Verse 5 through to verse 8. And the Lord descended in the cloud, and stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. This morning we will continue with our studies in what is generally called the Lord's Prayer, as it's recorded for us in Matthew chapter 6. We're still in verse 9, though now we make a big step of progress because we come to the end of that verse, Hallowed be thy name. We come now, after looking at the invocation with which the prayer commences. We have spent some weeks considering the words, Our Father which art in heaven, because they are foundational to the entire prayer. They're foundational to all prayer, to all communion with God. And the better a person's understanding of those things, those words and their meaning, the more we enter into them, the better we'll be able to pray, and the deeper will be our fellowship with God. Now we come to the petitions. Now there's a great argument among commentators and scholars as to whether there are 6 petitions or 7 petitions in the Lord's Prayer. They can't settle that. That should make you treat with a little, well, maybe more than a little healthy skepticism, the opinions of the same men when they want you to hang your soul on some notion that they have. The only thing we'll hang our souls on is the Word of God and what God says. But they are debating whether there are 6 petitions or 7. Thankfully, it's not something that's of such importance that you need to know it in order to be saved. Otherwise, we'd all be in trouble. Those who say there are 6 petitions combine the words, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, as one petition. Those who say there are 7 say no, lead us not into temptation as one petition, and deliver us from evil is another petition. We will leave that for the moment, but you will see there are either 6 or 7 petitions. They're obviously divided into 2, either 3 and 3, or, if there are 7, 3 and 4. Those who like Bible numerics, and there is a limited but real value in some of the numbers of Scripture, will point out that 3 is always the number of deity. It's the number associated with the triunity of God. And the first 3 petitions are, we would say, Trinitarian petitions. Some like to see the first, Hallowed be thy name, as directed mostly to the Father. The kingdom, thy kingdom come, introduces the whole idea of the work of Christ. For it is through the mediation of Christ that God's kingdom is set up. So that's dealing with the Son. Thy will be done speaks of a human obedience, which is wrought only by the regenerating and sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit. So there is a Trinitarian idea of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost in the first three petitions. And all three petitions are to do with God. Then the next lot, if we take them as four, four in Scripture is always the number of the world, the number of world universality, the number that has to do with us here on earth. And so the idea here is, here we have four petitions then that cover in summary fashion the entirety of our needs, the entirety of our experience, both physically and spiritually. So there are these two sets of petitions in the Lord's Prayer. Now what stands out very, very clearly right at the beginning is the petitions with which the Lord Jesus commences the prayer. The first three petitions are to do with thy name, thy kingdom, thy will. And very clearly it's teaching us that when we come to pray, the first thing that concerns us in prayer is not sin. So often when we rush into God's presence, it's sin that is uppermost in our minds, and we have got to deal first with sin. I remember reading as a young man how to go through the commandments of God and the Word of God and how to elicit all that I could from those things to list all my sins, so that when I would come to God, I would have this list of my sins before me, and I would be able to bring my heart to contrition and brokenness as I contemplated the depth of my own sin before God. I found that I could never pray that way. Oh, I had to confess. I had to know what it was to come to have the heart afflicted because of sin. We must never allow our hearts to become as hard and stony and careless about sin. But I find that's not the way to start to pray. The first concern is not sin. It is not Satan. It is not self. It is not our situation in any shape or form. All those things will have to have attention in prayer. And as we continue this prayer, we'll see that they all do get attention in due time. But first and foremost, we have these larger considerations. These three things govern or modify all the rest. When we say, "Thy hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done," the asking and answering of those petitions will modify how we ask and what answers we receive to all the other petitions. These first three are really three aspects of the same fundamental desire. In some ways, it's saying the same thing in three ways. The first, "Hallowed be thy name," emphasizes the Lord's person. "Thy kingdom come" emphasizes the Lord's program of grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. "Thy will be done" obviously emphasizes the Lord's purpose. Now, of the first three petitions, standing at the top of the list, there is this: "Hallowed be thy name." Now, why is that the very first? Why is it the very first? There are many reasons you could give, and I think we have got to stop and take them in. Obviously, because it's the most important. That's the outstanding reason why this is top of the list of all the petitions. I think in many ways, if we really could pray that one petition, if we could really enter into that one petition, if it could grip our hearts and open our understanding so that the full light of its meaning and significance would get into our soul, we would have prayed everything we need to pray. Hallowed be thy name. It's the most important. And obviously it's there as, if I could use the word, a corrective. A corrective against foolish notions arising out of what goes before. The Lord Jesus has told us to pray our Father. Now, there is, and I'm not going to take time on this morning, for I've dealt with it already, at least to some degree, there is always in men a tendency to sentimentalize and to trivialize the whole idea of the fatherhood of God. We have heard preachers who have said, we call God Abba, Father. And they point out that Abba is the child's name for Father. It's not just Pater, it is Abba. It's not just Father, it's Daddy. It's Pop. And I have heard preachers who address Almighty God in such terms. And when the Lord Jesus says, pray our Father, remember He was speaking to Jews. He was speaking to people who, if you read the ancient prayers of the Jewish people, were wont to call Him Father. But every time they called Him Father, they always added such word as King of the Universe or Ruler of All. And the Lord Jesus is really saying here, that is a very good balance. That is a very real corrective. There is no place for a sloppy, sentimental, trivializing, foolish, childish approach to God. And so He says, when you pray, say, Our Father, hallowed be thy name. This stands first also because in some ways, as I've indicated, it includes all the rest. And also because, as the great Puritan Thomas Manton said, this is the end. The others are all the means to the end. Hallowed be thy name, and to that end establish thy kingdom. To that end have thy will done on earth. This is the great means, or the great end to which all the others are means. Now I want us to think of this text this morning. I'm not sure if we'll get through it all or whether we won't. We'll see as the Lord leads. But what I want to establish is something very plain, very, very obvious. And that is that our first and greatest concern in prayer is that the Lord's name should be hallowed. Never forget that. That's the first great concern of God's people in prayer. Let me emphasize it. Our first concern is not the blessing. The blessing of God is a wonderful thing. It makes rich. He addeth no sorrow with it. In my sleepless hours last night, I was reading a little of the diary of David Brainerd. Here was a young man who was seeking God with all his heart, with all his soul. He was seeking God's salvation. He was seeking the blessing of justification and the blessing of the forgiveness of sin. And the more he sought, the more he became discouraged. The more smitten he became. Sometimes his heart would be up, but more often than not, he'd be cast down to the ground. And then he described how, on the 12th day of July, 1739, God revealed himself to him. And it was really through the words of John chapter 7. where the Lord Jesus spoke on the last great day of the feast of tabernacles. And he gave that great promise that whosoever believes in Christ, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And as he contemplated that passage of Scripture, it seemed like the glory of God came down upon him. And he realized, I have been seeking God, but my whole mindset has been the blessing. The whole mindset has been me, my salvation, my sin, my peace, my comfort, my joy, my everything. Now I realize that when I approach God, the first and great thing, and that will lead to these other things in due course, but the first and great thing is the absolute glory of God. The absolute glory of God. That's what the Lord Jesus is teaching us when he says, this is how you pray. First and foremost, your concern is that the Lord's name should be hallowed.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.